Hello, my name is Mackenzie Lovings, SVP of Product and Marketing at BIA. Welcome to BIA's Leading Local Insights podcast, where we examine the trends, technologies, and industry activities related to local media. Today, we have a special episode on Over the Top, OTT, with Nicole Ovedia, BIA's VP of Forecasting and Analysis, and Rick Ducey, BIA's Managing Director. This episode was originally recorded for the TVB Association and used in their Tab Talk series, and now we want to share it on our podcast because it discusses our expectations around ad revenue growth for OTT and what we see coming next. During the podcast, you'll hear Nicole and Rick discuss what's driving OTT's tremendous growth, how it's all complementing TV OTA, and its benefits to sellers and advertisers. And we definitely take a peek at 2023 since the new year is close at hand. Please enjoy.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nicole Ovedia, VP Forecasting and Analysis with BIA Advisory Services. Welcome to this TVB Tab Talk with Rick Ducey, Managing Director, BIA Advisory Services. TVB's Tab Talk interviews focus on three areas: technology, advertising, and broadcasting. Today, we're focusing on BIA's latest OTT forecast and what that means for ad spending, localism, and broadcasters competing in the OTT space. Before we dive into the actual conversation with our resident expert, Rick Ducey, I just want to level set to make sure everybody's on the same page. So, right now, BIA Advisory Services is currently forecasting spending across all media for all local advertising for 2022 to be about $167.4 billion. Of that, OTT will be $2 billion. It's only 1.2% of the total compared to TV over the air, which is $20.4 billion, but OTT is growing tremendously. And BIA is forecasting that by 2026, we will go from a $2 billion market to a $3.4 billion industry, which is a pretty big growth in a pretty short amount of time. So, as I was saying, Rick Ducey is our resident expert and very good friend of mine, and so he is going to help us unpack all of this and figure out what's going on. First and foremost, Rick, what is driving this tremendous growth? Is this demand? Is this advertisers? What's going on here, and what makes OTT so great?
Yeah, it's a great question, Nicole, and thank you. And it's great to be here with the TVB Tab community and have a chance to share some of our data and insights. What's driving the growth, first and foremost, is people love TV. And wherever you put TV, premium, full-length content, people are going to go there. And so we talked about, you know, TAB is technology, advertising, broadcasting, and pretty much what the history of media technology has taught us. When you put technology out there, when that technology attracts audiences, it's going to attract advertisers because advertisers want to reach those audiences. So you've got a platform that offers premium content that audiences are used to from broadcasting, and they are able to have some capabilities with it. They have more choices. They have different price points. Sometimes it's subscription with no commercials. Sometimes it's advertising light for a little bit less money. Sometimes it's fully supported advertising, these so-called free ad-supported streaming TV channels, FAST, where you don't even have to give an email sometimes. I mean, it's very similar to broadcast TV where you just pick a channel and watch it. You have that kind of model in the OTT world. You have advertising supported, and then you have no advertising, subscription supported. What we're seeing in this growth is, yeah, there is more demand. Through the pandemic period, consumers watched more and more of the streaming services. They actually upped their technology literacy, which is sort of interesting. There is a user interface. There is a learning curve to know how to deal with these different services. And for OTT, there's hundreds of different ways to watch OTT, all the different service providers. And it gets confusing between the hardware. It's a device from some company, and then it's a platform. I go to that same brand, and now instead of a device, it's like a menu of different program options. And then there's the actual content. So one brand could be the hardware, it could be the platform, and it could be the source of content. And also players are in each of those three different parts of the OTT ecosystem. So the demand's definitely increased because TV exists and people love TV. on the viewer side. And the pandemic gave people more time at home, less commuting time to watch TV. And so they experimented with new ways to watch TV, and streaming really accommodated a lot of what consumers wanted to see from their video offerings. And that contributed to a lot of it. And again, where you have audiences aggregate, eventually advertisers say, we want to be there too. So the spend has been upping, the investment in OTT as an advertising platform. From an advertiser perspective, they like the long form content, they like the premium content, like audiences. One of the other things that both audiences and advertisers like is the ability to do personalization, to do some targeting. Mm-hmm. So consumers get recommendation engines, they get lots of different choice, they have ways to do discovery and connect the content they like. From an advertiser perspective, the demand has increased because, wait a minute, on the one hand, we get premium, high-value, engaging, long-form video content. Yeah. We've got ever-growing audiences, and, you know, drop the mic. We also have digital data and digital targeting techniques, and even digital programmatic advertising platforms to do planning, buying, activation, campaign stewardship, optimization, performance measurement outcomes, all on that same platform. So it's a kind of a nexus of several different things across technology and advertising and broadcasting that have brought OTT to the forefront, and that's why it's growing so much.
So basically you're checking all the boxes for the advertisers and the consumers, and so that's leading to this tremendous growth. And that's really interesting. You brought up the point about how during the pandemic, there was consumer adaption was just off the charts. And pre-pandemic, I was always thinking about this space and looking at this space. And I always hit the wall when I was like, my 78-year-old mother is never going to get on, you know, streaming platforms or anything like that. It's just not possible. It's not going to happen. And then the pandemic hit. And, you know, here we are having Zoom happy hours. And she's, you know, getting all these Netflix things before I am. Everything on Hulu. I mean, she's all over it. And the adoption rate from that technology, from that perspective, even from this one data point of observing my mother, was just incredible. And so then that kind of broke down that barrier in my mind of one of the problems OTT is going to have is adaption and just with all that technology. So now that that's kind of out of the way, what issues do you see for OTT as it continues to grow?
Yeah, so from the consumer perspective, the user interface has become more intuitive, you know, good software engineering and human factors there. But also, I mean, the population generally has upped its technology IQ, if you will, its technology literacy. So even seniors are used to using email and increasingly used to using social platforms for video chats and so on. So there's a kind of a rising tide in terms of how people are using technology, getting familiar with it. So all of that is something that OTT benefits from. So understanding navigation, discovery, logins, the difference between what the technology does, what the platform does, and what the content does, it's not entirely intuitive. I mean, some people get it more than others, but it's a comfortable thing. So it's like people grew up with cable TV, with remotes and boxes and service providers and different content providers. So a lot of that ports well into the OTT world. So now we have audiences, we have technology, we have content, and we have advertisers. Ideally, you have excellent data, excellent transparency, and it's kind of a scalable, targetable notion of what that audience is from the advertiser perspective. Well, here we run into some friction. The measurement and reporting systems have been optimized, scaled, rolled out, and in common use by the industry all around linear TV methods, technologies, and practices. Now we've got streaming TV, and so the measurement's different. So how you measure depends upon how people actually watch it. If you're watching streaming services on a smart TV, for example, you can collect data from what they call glass level data. The TV OEM, the original equipment manufacturer, LG, Samsung, Vizio, they know what is going to the glass. And so that's one kind of a measurement, but they may not know who's actually watching that glass. That requires something else, panels, samples, things like that. And then we're trying to marry that data to do audience segmentation from the buyer side. Who are my strategic audience segments? Well, you know, to pick a kind of a stereotypical one, I want to target women 25 to 34 who are in market to buy a SUV, who have a certain household income, who live in a certain region because I want to target creative content differently. I can build that segment in my customer database, marrying it with other databases. Now I want to activate that in media. So here's my segment. Can you match that segment in your audience data? So kind of, sort of, there's some leakage there. And then also, what's the quality of the data, the measurement of the audience exposure, the ad exposure, who sees it when. So there's a lot of challenges there for that measurement and reporting as we do OTT. And then, of course, where everybody wants to go is cross-platform. I want to execute a TV campaign. Some of that TV gets activated in linear. Some of that TV campaign gets activated in digital, in OTT, and I want to see the holistic outcome. And I want to get into frequency capping. I want to do incremental reach. You know, who am I reaching differently across different platforms? I want to be able to do content optimization. I don't want to show you the same ad 30 times. I would like to show you a sequence of 4 ads. So all those different things are possible, doable, and people are working on it, but it's not perfect yet. But those are kind of, I guess, challenges, or you could flip that to say opportunities for how this whole environment can become even better for advertisers.
Really interesting. And one of the things you mentioned was privacy, or sort of individualization, or all of that. And you know, privacy of data is becoming more and more important. So to individuals, do you think that's going to hinder the growth of OTT? As you were saying, OTT kind of allows the advertiser to know who's watching that glass, whereas broadcast, traditional over-the-air television, it's more private, if you will, or anonymous in terms of who's listening, who's watching. Do you think that's going to be a problem for OTT, or an opportunity, or people are willing to?
It's a thing to deal with. I mean, you can decide if it's a problem or an opportunity. From an evolution perspective, we need to go there. So it's a problem or something that needs to be addressed. So as I mentioned, some of the fast services, you just go there and start watching. You don't even give your email. So there's no PII, no personally identifiable information at all. Still, your behavior can be tracked at the device level. If you're using a media stick, a media box, or even a smart TV, the behavior of the devices can be tracked. And then, given the way data science and engineering works these days, I can license data from your smartphone to know where you are. I can match that to internet addresses, and I can match that to other kinds of behavior. So you can actually result, even without people giving personally identifiable information, by merging different data sets, you can pretty much say, this is what Rick Ducey's doing right now. And so it's a little bit frightening. So privacy laws and corporate policies and practices around data governance are evolving. But bottom line, you see companies like Apple, with their ask to track, it's opt-in, used to be opt-out for industry practices. So it's a smaller percentage of people giving permission to have for advertisers have access to their data. With Google, with their third-party support for cookies, that whole deprecation program. So digital advertising has risen so rapidly. One of the reasons precisely is because of that really finite granular targeting you could do to define and activate audiences for buying in those platforms. That is softening, and that's some of why digital ad growth has been softening. Not that it's going to be, I mean, it's still growing, but the rate of growth is softening a bit. Now you go back to linear TV, which the targeting hasn't been that level of granularity in the past. So there's been things like data-driven linear, where you can look at how audiences index in certain day parts, certain programs, across certain consumer segment profiles. So if you have the rise of data-driven linear, and then a lot of that's driven also by contextual. So if I'm going to buy sports program, I kind of know who's going to be in there. And so if I'm an advertiser and I want to appeal to that affinity group that likes sports broadcasting, great. Same thing for drama, same thing for different kinds of content. So you can have contextual targeted by content. You can have targeting with data-driven linear, who over-indexes for along a variety. I mean, there's tens of thousands of different attributes you can segment consumers with. So where it's going is digital is kind of saying, we got to slow down and do it differently. you know, seeing how Google and Apple, for example, are backing off the level of granularity for targeting. At the same time, Linear has a lot of expertise, a lot of experience in terms of contextually selling. So you have like PII or near PIA driven targeting, and then you have contextual targeting as the digital media is sort of backing down on what they're doing for privacy reasons, data governance reasons, corporate policy reasons in terms of targeting. Media, big brands that are used to doing data-driven linear and contextual targeting, is like, that's now becoming more popular. So it used to be, if you can't give me total granular targeting, like one-to-one, that's less interesting. Now it's becoming, well, contextual is actually pretty good, and the expense of licensing all these different data sets and the precision and the complications may not always be worth it. So if we can do contextual targeting, that may be what we need for this campaign. So we're in that kind of evolution period, both on linear TV is actually getting smarter in terms of targeting, and on the digital side, that targeting's softening a bit because of privacy concerns, regulations, and we'll see how that all evolves.
Absolutely. It's such a fascinating space that is continuing. It's so fluid, and we could talk about this all day, and we are going a little long, I know, for a typical TAB talk, so we will land this plane very soon. So why don't we, why don't we actually get to the crux of probably what people want to know? How do local sellers and broadcasters compete in this space with all of those giants, all of these things that you're talking about, everything being so fluid? How can they possibly compete in this OTT space? Or what's your recommendation for dipping a toe, getting involved, and being part of this emerging media that they can't ignore?
Right. Well, it comes down to one basic fact. A lot of what's happening in the OTT space is national. So most of the advertising investment in OTT is in the national TV marketplace, not the local TV marketplace. And a key reason for that is it's arguably easier to work there. It's more competitive, but there's less moving parts, less advertisers, and less maybe technology involved in it. To scale out to local, it's hard to drive demand on the local side without feet on the street. And so the superpower, if you will, of local media are those local marketing consultants, local account executives, local sellers that do direct selling. So they can go out there and say, look, we know you want to be cross-platform with your ad campaign. We know that in your market segment, whether it's healthcare or automotive or financial or home services, there's a certain consumer journey. And it's like, we can put together a campaign that you have 10 times you can touch a consumer in their purchase journey. Let us show you how you can use different media platforms to make an impact on that consumer's purchase decision through that 10-step process or 5-step process or 20-step process, whatever it is. OTT is a really influential part of that consumer journey now, the ability to touch them and optimize the content and everything. So you have a local seller driving demand, simulating demand on a part of the market that really these national brands aren't going after. They're starting to, but there's a lot of opportunity in local. And it's competitive. So you have radio stations that are selling OTT. Just because it's video doesn't mean it has to be local TV selling it. And so there's the opportunities for local sellers to add OTT into their solution set for local businesses and regional businesses to say, look, we can put you on TV in premium video, brand safe, highly engaging, consumers love it, it's very popular, and we can serve ads just in your business area. So it's going to be a lot less expensive than you might think. And we can measure outcomes. It's like, what's not to love with that?
Right. So you're saying your recommendation is do what they've always been doing, which is leverage those local relationships, those special relationships that they've built over the years being a local seller. This is another opportunity. It's another quiver in their, for their bow that they can help come with the solutions for, marketing. They can be the marketing experts that they have, earn that respect with their clients over time. And now OTT is another way of helping those clients to meet their goals. But first and foremost, leverage those local relationships and extend what your offerings are.
Exactly right. There's a lot of trust, a lot of experience, and, shared success a lot of times with these local sellers, with their clients. And it's like, look what I've got for you today. I've got another way for your voice to be powerful in the marketplace. Let's put this into your cross-platform ad campaign, and let's measure the results.
Yes, the measurement is so huge. All right, fantastic. We have to end now, but I'm sure we'll be back for another one very shortly as this space continues to evolve and grow tremendously. But I do want to thank everybody that is here watching, listening to this TVB Tab Talk. On behalf of myself and Rick, thank you for being here, and we look forward to more conversations in the future.
Thanks, Nicole. Thanks, everybody.